y'all weigh the freedoms of your constituents with the fact that we haven't had another mass shooting in Florida since Parkland, since we passed these gun reforms.
Thank you, sir.
It's ma'am. Thank you.
It's ma'am.
I'm Dave Rubin. This is the Rubin Report. It is Friday, which means it's time for another Friday Roundtable Extravaganza. And joining me is old Rubin Report veteran Michael Knowles of The Michael Knowles Show on The Daily Wire and a first-time Rubin Report guest known as Non-Lib Take on Instagram, Aaron Wexler. Michael, Aaron, how are you, crazy kids?
Doing very well, Mr. Rubin. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Michael, I know that everyone on the internet knows of you and your love of cigars and whiskey and all of that stuff, so we're gonna give Erin some props right up top because she's blowing up on the Instagram and the TikTok. And I saw this video that she put up a couple days ago. She went to New York City, and she, I don't know why anyone would go there, but she went to New York City and she put this up. So this is a little intro to Erin.
Welcome to another day in my life as a conservative woman, this time visiting my hometown of New York City, the place where ovaries go to die. It is funny being back because while Florida is a giant blue state refugee camp, New York is an actual refugee camp. Now, since my last visit, everyone around me is still pale, unhappy, masked, and trans. Okay, not everyone is trans. Everyone's just kind of an androgynous self-proclaimed Marxist who live in their West Village apartments thanks to Daddy or George Soros. Speaking of which, it would not be a complete trip without being held up in traffic by a bunch of jihadi Janes and Hamas holes. So checked that off the list. And to ward off the liberal spirits, I brought the scariest thing a leftist could see, a pocket constitution. Next stop, I went to the police station because I figured since they aren't allowed to arrest criminals anymore, I'd see if they could at least put out a radio call to round up all men in the city of athletic build with no wedding bands, ages 30 to 39. But they said no, so I left. I went to get a snack and oh, so I looked for another snack, but oh no, and another and oh, well, you get it. It does feel kind of silly to stand in line and pay because I've seen people take things and walk out and nothing happens to them. Still, I do find comfort in the city from our few conservative outposts where the liberals secretly come to eat God's chicken. Finally, whenever I'm back, people open up to me like I'm a priest in a confessional booth, which is all to say, New York, you are super weird, but there are more normies here than you'd think.
Jihadi Janes and Hamas holes. That's solid stuff, Aaron. That's solid
Thank
stuff.
Thank you, Dave.
I just realized, I thought I hadn't seen any of your videos, Aaron. I was watching that one yesterday, I think.
Really?
New York, where ovaries go to die, is one of the funniest lines I've heard in years. And
Thank
accurate.
You.
Aaron, in case people didn't fully get it, you live in the free state of Florida. You went to New York, but like,
yes, sir.
Joking aside, it's pretty freaking terrible at this point, right?
Yeah, it's a dystopian place at this point. It is really weird to go back, and it makes me pretty sad. I do like to joke about it, and the video is meant to poke fun at mostly the libtards. Also myself, I like to make fun of conservatives. You know, it's kind of laughing at both sides there, more so one side. But I do live in the free state of Florida now. I do go back to New York. I have family there. I have friends there. It is a necessary evil of my year, and I made it out alive, and I'm actually currently in the great state of Tennessee, near Michael Knowles, but not too close. And so we're basically neighbors right now.
Not too close, Knowles, so don't get any ideas. All right, guys, we are going to, I don't know what that meant.
I'm in the real part of Tennessee. I'm outside of Knoxville, not a Tennessee light over in Nashville.
Right.
So.
With your fancy boots over there, Knowles. All right, guys, we're going to recap the woke week that was some Trump and Biden stuff at the border. Now Illinois is trying to kick Trump off the ballot. Some crazy stuff from the televised mental institution known as MSNBC. And then, of course, this Gemini AI thing, which is absolutely blown up. But before we do that, let me tell you about Cozy Earth. Guys, you all know the value of a good night's sleep. We feel better. We look better. We have energy to spare. The list goes on and on. Yet sleep never made my resolution to-do list. I guess because it seemed like a lost cause. I was either too hot, too cold, too something. That is until I discovered Cozy Earth bedding. Guys or girls or guys who think they're girls, it's amazing. I love using their products. Here's why I love Cozy Earth bedding. They were founded to transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. The bedding is ethically sourced using premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo, and their beds are naturally temperature regulating and breathable, so you'll sleep comfortably all year round. Cozy Earth's bedding comes with a 100-night sleep trial, which means that you have up to 100 nights to sleep on them, wash them, try them out. If you're not completely in love, just return them with a full refund within 100 days. And all of their products include a 10-year warranty against defects, Whether it's their luxury bedding, ultra comfortable loungewear, plush bath towels, and more, make your new year cozier with Cozy Earth. If you've never tried Cozy Earth, I've got some awesome news. You can save up to 35% off Cozy Earth right now, but hurry, this offer won't last. Go to CozyEarth.com and enter promo code Dave at checkout for up to 35% off on your first order. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Dave. And now back to me, Knowles, as a professional host of an internet talk show. How did I do on that read? I was feeling extra pressure.
That was magnificent. I want to, you know, I just want to jump under the covers right now. It sounds sort of saucier than it should, but where do I sign up?
Well, speaking of people that nobody wants to see jump under the covers, Donald Trump and Joe Biden both visited the border yesterday. We've got a side-by-side video of it, and take a look.
Nice weather, beautiful day, but a very dangerous border. We're going to take care of it. Thank you.
I mean, guys, everyone knows I've had my issues with Trump over the last year or so, but the juxtaposition just on energy alone, and I know it's not all about energy, but watching Biden basically being pushed out there like a freaking Mr. Burns after they've done all of the magical stuff to him, it's just, Aaron, it's just pathetic at this point, is it?
It is. It's a national case of elder abuse. We're all complicit. I don't know how we allow this to happen. And sometimes I watch Joe Biden get paraded around and I sort of feel, I get the same feeling as when you see like a Chinese or Russian athlete at the Olympics after they've done a misstep and they're only going to get silver instead of gold. And you wonder, like, especially the Russians, you're like, oh, they're sending them to the gulags after this. Like they're pretending that they're free and they're here. But once they get back home, I don't know what's happening to them. And that's basically how I feel when they let Joe Biden out of the basement of the White House. So it's a pretty horrible thing to see. And the rest of the world is seeing it too, right? It's not just us.
Knowles, is there a conspiracy, like an actual conspiracy happening right now? It seems to me they must be drugging him. Someone knows what's wrong with him and that a small cadre of people keep putting him out there. And that strikes me as an actual conspiracy.
Well, if it's a conspiracy, it's a pretty big one because we all know what's happening to him. And what's happening to him is he's extremely old and senile. And so they're obviously shooting him up with something. You just see it in his speeches. He starts out really strong, not really strong, but relatively strong and relatively angry. And then within, 10 to 12 minutes, he starts to drop. He gets to the end of the press conference. He really starts wandering off, forgetting things. So this happens constantly with him. And what it reminds me of, speaking of the Soviet Empire, it reminds me of the late stage Soviet Empire when you'd have all of these leaders come up, Andropov, whoever, and they'd just die. You know, Ronald Reagan had that joke. He said, I'd like to cut a deal with the Soviets. The problem is the leaders keep dying on it. And so it was only when they got Mikhail Gorbachev that they could finally wind down the war and wind down the empire. And sadly, I feel like we won the Cold War, we beat the evil empire, and now we've just absorbed so many of their errors, and we're even kind of stage playing the decline of that. So, you know, you say energy isn't everything, but it's a lot. You know, you need the whole point of the executive branch is that it's the spirited part of the government. That's how it was designed, going back to the Constitutional Convention, the Federalist Papers. So you need a guy who's got some thumos, who's got a little spirit, who's got a little spunk. And Joe Biden, you know, you feel like a three steps of stairs could be the very end of our president.
Right. So, Aaron, when you see Trump out there and he's shaking hands and he can speak in coherent sentences and everything else, it almost doesn't matter exactly if he can make the policies work or build the wall this time or anything else. People just see someone more functional. Like, it's kind of as simple as that.
It is, but it is. There's something special with Trump where people will walk over broken glass for him, right? This is a man who inspires people in this country in a way that you haven't seen. I mean, people who wanted DeSantis, for example, to be the nominee or Vivek, those same people are going to do anything they can for Trump. And I don't know any candidate. I don't know anyone in my entire lifetime who has been able to inspire that. And then on top of that, when you juxtapose that with Joe Biden, there's just no question here. I actually was recently on a trip with a bunch of New York Dems. We were outside of the country, and I'm sort of the Republican whisperer. So all these liberals were coming up to me and saying, I'm voting for Trump. They were all like actually whispering in the corner of a bar. And I'm like, this isn't the Underground Railroad. We don't have to whisper. We can actually just talk about this. But a lot of people feel very disillusioned and feel betrayed. A lot of normal liberals don't know what to do right now. And I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm also a little superstitious of what we might have this year.
Knowles, do you have a theory on how they will get rid of him if they need to get rid of him or if it just breaks down further? Everyone's got their own theory and, you know, can they then bring in Kamala temporarily and then boot her and Gavin? You got a theory you're running with on this?
Yeah, none of it's going to happen. That's my theory. Everyone likes to play these games because it seems so crazy that this old guy who doesn't know which end is up is still the president. But generally speaking, in politics, things don't happen. And the crazier the thing you're expecting sounds, the less likely it's going to happen. What would need to happen to boot Biden out is he would have to either die or be so delirious with his dementia that they could actually drag him out. Neither of those seem likely to me. So then he'd have to step down voluntarily. That's never going to happen.
Right, that's not happening.
Cling to power as long as he can. And so, but then what happens? Even if they could somehow get rid of him, then they're stuck with Kamala. Kamala is frankly even worse politically than Joe Biden is. So, okay, then you got to get rid of Kamala. And who are you going to bring in? Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom is a relatively talented politician. I think he could probably run a pretty serious campaign. But they back themselves into a corner. They can't replace the first black female vice president with the whitest dude straight out of American Psycho that's ever graced politics. So they're not going to do that. Who are they going to replace her with? Another black woman? Well, the choices, according to Biden in 2020, were Susan Rice. She's the fall man for Benghazi. She's probably more competent and intelligent than Kamala, but she's not good on the campaign trail. Karen Bass, who was an actual communist, and that's why she was passed over the first time, or Kamala. So then you're left with her, and she doesn't put the Dems in a better spot than Biden does. So probably we're stuck with great-great-grandpa Joe.
What about Stacey Abrams? She's black, she's a chick, and she's fat. That's pretty good.
Please,
and she's
Dave.
Already the president, I think.
I was going to say the correct title is governor or president, I think.
Oh.
Please, the correct honors.
Yes. Well, let's just add one thing onto this before we move on, which is that the Democrats, these freaking people, every time they do one of these things, they make Trump more popular. And yes, now in Illinois, they're trying to kick him off the ballot. We've got some info from the Daily Wire. Have you ever heard of these people, Knowles? A Democrat.
I'm not
state
familiar with them.
A Democrat state judge in Illinois ordered on Wednesday that former President Donald Trump must be removed from the presidential ballot, claiming that Trump engaged in insurrection during the January 6th riot on the U.S. Capitol. Judge Tracy R. Porter of the State Circuit Court in Cook County ruled that the State Board of Elections shall remove Donald J. Trump from the ballot for the general primary election on March 19, 2024, or cause any votes cast for him to be suppressed. Porter stayed her order, giving Trump until Friday to appeal her ruling while early voting in the state's presidential primary is already underway. The Soros-funded Democrat front groups continue to attempt to interfere in the election and deny President Trump his rightful place on the ballot, a spokesperson for the Trump campaign said in a statement. Today, an activist Democrat judge in Illinois summarily overruled the state's Board of Elections and contradicted earlier decisions from dozens of other state and federal jurisdictions. This unconstitutional ruling that we will quickly appeal. In the meantime, President Trump remains on the Illinois ballot, is dominating the polls, and will make America great again. Knowles, do they want Trump to win, and that's why they're doing this? Or at least they want him to just be as hampered as possible when he's running? Like, what the hell are they doing? They just keep adding fuel to the fire.
I think they realize that in a fair election, Trump very likely will win. Not guaranteed that he'll win, but in a relatively fair election where they don't change all the rules and they don't justify it all with COVID, that all of the polls, which have been accurate thus far in the campaign, show Trump stands a very good chance of beating Biden. And so the positive takeaway from this is that the libs are not actually omnipotent. They have a lot of power, they control the institutions, but there's this one group that they don't have total control over, and that group happens to be the people. So they're risking losing even more support among the people by persecuting Donald Trump, the four court cases, kicking him off the ballot in Illinois, kicking him off the ballot in Colorado. But they're already losing the people anyway. So I think they're just doing everything they can to stymie him from even getting to that point. So then obviously this is going to go up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court's going to have to decide this, and the libs are going to shriek and scream about that. But what do they want? They are the ones who are forcing a constitutional crisis here. They are the ones behaving in a way that is totally unprecedented, totally out of keeping with the American political tradition. So they're going to leave it to the judges, and you're going to get more death threats on Sam Alito, basically.
Right. I to me, it seems like they, in a weird way, they wanted to get to the Supreme Court, knowing that the Supreme Court is obviously not going to back booting him off the ballots. And then that will be more proof to them that the Supreme Court and the court system doesn't work. They just want to burn everything down. Aaron, they just keep giving this guy everything he wants, right? Like, isn't this, it almost feels like an in-kind donation to him, actually.
No, well, everything about this feels like a Babylon Bee skit. And the funny thing to me about this is if you look at who Tracy Porter is, the judge who made this ruling, it feels like every single judge, lawyer, DA, whoever that they throw at Trump was spun through the Google Gemini AI machine because they're always black and female. So yet another one this time. And when you look up Tracy Porter, she's actually a traffic court judge, and she presides over minor traffic violations and A misdemeanors. So this that is really underreported on the story, and it tickles my stomach a little bit because it's just too good. You couldn't write this if you tried. And so that is the judge who made this ruling.
Well, let's talk about more crazy Democrats, because there is this woman in California, Communist California, Representative Barbara Lee. And for those of you that watch this show regularly, you may remember her from last week. She was calling for a $50 minimum wage in California, which I think California have at it. Go for it. That'll be just fantastic. Anyway, here she is talking about how she's going to keep Trump off the ballot.
I would do everything I can do to make sure that Donald Trump is not not elected. Donald Trump wants to disrupt, dismantle our democracy. He wants to establish an autocratic government. And he's a national security threat, and he's a danger to this country and to the rest of the world.
Knowles, I keep saying we just need to buy these people a mirror. On one hand, she's saying she wants to keep the guy off the ballot. On the other hand, she's saying he's the bad guy, and he's the autocrat, and he's the fascist, and all the other stuff.
Do they always say this? When Viktor Orban gets elected in Hungary because most Hungarians like him, that's the threat to democracy. When most Italians vote for Giorgia Meloni, that's the threat to democracy. When most Brits vote for the Brexit, that's a threat to democracy. They simply use democracy to mean something other than democracy. Democracy basically means government by the people, but what they really mean is liberalism. What they really mean is leftism. So in their mind, they're not lying. They're telling the truth. Any time a Democrat loses, any time a conservative Republican wins, that is for the libs prima facie evidence of something illegitimate in the election. Because in their mind, it's so obviously true that liberalism and leftism are good for everybody. So the only way that the conservatives could ever win is if they cheat, if they disenfranchise the voters, or if they hypnotize everyone under a false consciousness. So it makes total sense in their minds that a conservative winning an election could be a threat to democracy. It's because they believe that the political right is totally illegitimate.
Aaron, are you with me on this idea? Like, when I heard Barbara Lee talk about the $50 minimum wage last week, I was like, okay, just more. Just keep doing this at this point. I used to make fun of you people, but if this is what you want and these are the people you want to elect and you want to take Trump off the ballot, it's like, then have at it, Callie. Have at it, New York, where you just were. It's like, what can I do? What can I do?
I am absolutely with you. And, you know, in New York, they're also imposing a congestion tax, which is going to add even more to all the costs that people have right now in New York City. So I'm definitely of the mindset of you voted for it and I hope you get it. I'm definitely not a graceful conservative when it comes to this. I do love to see it. I have two things to say about Barbara Lee. The first is these moments with the left when they, just like you said, in the same breath, they're saying Donald Trump is the threat to democracy, but they're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure he cannot be president. It reminds me of the bully in high school who beats up the gay kids because he's secretly super gay. And that is what all Democrats are to me. And Barbara Lee, I mean, it's really rich coming from a woman whose district includes Oakland, California. So, you know, if you want to make America Oakland, it means you'll be stepping in human feces and running around tent cities and trying to avoid armed robberies, except, of course, if His Majesty Xi Jinping from China is in, and in which case, when the Grand Emperor is around, we'll actually clean up the streets. That is who is speaking in the clip that you just played. So I hope they get everything that they are voting for.
Absolutely. By the way, to your point on San Francisco and what he did there, somehow they managed to get thousands and thousands of homeless drug addicts off the street for like 4 days. And then the second G was gone, bang, they're back.
Yeah.
Like, it's so freaking psychotic. And to Oakland, you know that In-N-Out closed in Oakland? Knowles, did you know that? In-N-Out. In-N-Out. You used to live in L.A. I think we had In-N-Out together at least twice. It's gone. They took it out of Oakland because it was
good.
Such a craptastic.
I hope they, that's why we can't have nice things. That's why you can't have nice things. I hope they lose it all. Go
speaking
ahead.
Of,
it's a reminder,
speaking,
though.
Yes.
Just on this point, to you, the point you're making, Dave, they could do it very quickly. And they can do it very quickly because these are not actually complex problems. When you have too much crime, you arrest the criminals and then the crime goes away. When you have bums shooting up on the street, you ban the drugs and you arrest them and take them to a shelter or to a jail. And they go, it goes away. They can do it anytime they want. When they leave the criminals and the drug dealers and everyone else on the street, they are doing it intentionally.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about coffee and then we'll jump to the other side of the crazy people over at MSNBC. Guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate bad coffee? I, for one, really hate crappy coffee, which is why I'm excited to introduce you guys to a company revolting against crappy coffee, 1775 Coffee Company. In 1775, the world awakened to a new era, and now 1775 Coffee Company is bringing you a coffee that embodies that revolutionary spirit, crafted with passion and precision. Their beans are ethically and exclusively sourced from the finest coffee farms of Bolivia. 1775 Coffee Company's farm-to-cup journey ensures the highest quality, authenticity, and sustainability from start to finish. With each sip, your palate will recognize, appreciate the dedication and passion that goes into crafting this single-source brew. 1775 Coffee takes pride in offering customers a truly exceptional coffee experience with their premium coffee collection, but their dedication to this revolution extends beyond the realm of just taste. Safeguarding freedom of speech is critical right now, which is why 1775 Coffee Company has joined forces with Rumble in defense of one of our most fundamental rights, freedom of speech. Coffee that's sure to awaken all senses, including the sense of freedom. Choose 1775 Coffee by going to 1775coffee.com/Ruben and use code Ruben for 10% off at checkout on your first offer. 1775 Coffee, brewed to perfection, crafted with revolution. And now back to me. All right, let's jump over to the televised mental institution known as MSNBC and Rachel Maddow, a woman whose neck is thicker than her head.
Now, if you think about the court as the Supreme Court of the United States and a rational actor and a decent one, that was a reasonable supposition, and it just turns out they're not that. Incremental bit of progress here. The important question here is not whether the Supreme Court is going to decide that Donald Trump and all presidents are immune from prosecution for things they commit, crimes they committed while they were president. I mean, it would be fully insane for them to actually side with Trump here, right? The conclusion that we can arrive at now based on what they have done without having to wait for the ruling is that they are ensuring that Trump will not face trial. And when they inevitably rule that presidents aren't immune from prosecution after they leave office, what that will tell Donald Trump, if by then he is president, is that he can never leave the office of the presidency.
Right.
And if he is voted out in 2028, he cannot leave office, and he is willing to he is welcome to commit any crimes he wants to, as long as he is still president, in order to ignore the result of that election and stay in power for life, because otherwise he is going to go to prison when he gets out.
Knowles, doesn't that kind of prove my earlier point that they want all of this stuff to get to the Supreme Court so that when it doesn't go their way, it'll show their audience, the crazy people that watch that stuff, that none of it works. Thus, let's just burn it all down.
Right. I know.
Because
I
otherwise, you get dictator for life.
Right. You get the Caesar. And I think my doppelganger here, Rachel, is threatening us all with a good time. But it's probably not going to come to that, is the thing, because they're all overplaying their hands. They're saying it's inevitable that the Supreme Court is going to rule that we should always throw our ousted presidents in orange jumpsuits. And it's inevitable. Of course, it's in the American legal tradition to jail our opponents. Give me a break. It's not the legal tradition at all. The reason that this is going to the court is because it's an open question. It's an open question because it's never happened before in America. Mm-hmm. This is an outrage, and they are, of course, the ones acting in a way to upend our constitutional order. So it's exactly as you say. They're setting the stage so that when all of their predictions don't come true, they can pull their hair out, and I guess they'll get better views. You know, the ratings will go up on MSNBC. But the cost of that will be a further fraying of the constitutional order. And then who knows? I guess at that point, you know, if we really are lucky, we could have, Caesar Donaldus Trumpus Magnus, but I wouldn't hold my breath for it.
Hey, Aaron, you mentioned before you've still got these leftist friends, and maybe some of them are kind of whispering to you that they're coming this way. But do you find that a certain set of them are still just caught in the never-ending state of panic that MSNBC just keeps everybody in? Because that's all that. They're just peddling constant panic, basically.
Oh, absolutely not. I trimmed those friends a long time ago. I'm only friends with reasonable liberals who could have respectful conversations, which I do think is important. I don't want to live in an echo chamber. But when it comes to leftists, those are definitely not in my friend group. But I do think you're right that I don't know that Rachel Maddow actually believes this, although I do appreciate the dramatic flair with which when she says, if Donald Trump is president again, and she has that pause as to make you really think about what that could look like, you know, like, low gas prices, no wars, like everyone's just a lot happier, no inflation. So like, God forbid, threaten me with that good time. But, but you know, I don't know that she really believes this. I don't know what's worse, if she actually believes what she's saying to her audience or if she's doing this for ratings. We know MSNBC is always hanging on by a thread. The best thing that could happen to Rachel Maddow, the best thing that could happen to these left-wing news organizations is to actually have Trump become president. And so I generally think that Rachel Maddow shows up every day to work. She gets out of her Subaru, probably, and she goes in and decides to think, what can I say to my audience of mentally disabled, childless, single, ambiguously female freak Democrats who have vegan cats on antidepressants? And I think this is what comes out of her mouth.
Why do lesbians all drive Subarus?
Subaru has embraced it. There are many articles about this. It's statistically correct.
It's a very ambiguous car, I guess. You know, I mean, on the one hand, it's sort of a sensible urban car, but on the other hand, it's sort of an off-road. It lives in this liminal space, this almost mythological space in which the lesbians themselves also live.
I don't know how exactly I can segue out of this, but well, you know what? Here's a guy that looks half like Fat Albert and half like Albert Einstein.
Then the appeals court gives a bulletproof ruling, as Dahlia says, and they still decide to take it up.
What it says is that they are corrupted political actors who act in bad faith. The reason why people like Mark and people like Dahlia seem to have a crystal ball is because they're real, because they're realists, and they understand the court for what it is. And at some point, people in the media, people at home, and people sitting in the White House have to stop pretending that the Supreme Court is some kind of benign, trying to do its best institution and start to realize that there are six Republicans, not conservatives, Republicans on the Supreme Court who view it as their job to help the Republican Party. And until we do something about that, until we take away that power, until we draw the line on them there, they will continue to do this. They will help Trump. They will take away abortion rights. They will end affirmative action. They will liberalize gun rights. They will do all of it until we stop them. And somebody needs to start listening in the higher echelons of the Democratic Party, because we will keep losing every day we allow these six Republicans in robes to rule over all of us.
I like that guy. I like just listening to him. He's making, I mean, first off, everything he said that the court's going to do, like, cool. Sounds good to me, right, Aaron? Like, that's good stuff.
I was going to say, twist my arm. I was already going to vote for Trump, so you don't have to say more. Unbelievable.
When you described him, Dave?
Yeah.
I can't see the feed, but I knew exactly who you were talking about. And I listened to that lecture, and my first reaction is, who lives like that? It's not the blithe ignorance that is the most shocking. It's the self-seriousness and the yelling and the high blood pressure and, like, good grief, man. You know, life, reality is actually not quite so scary as these people all make it out to be. Even his point on, we have six Republicans on the court who help the Republican Party at all costs. First of all, that just isn't true. Frequently, these right-wingers on the court squish regularly, on even on cases that Trump is pushing. Yeah, but
John Roberts has flipped the other way several times in the last couple of years.
Roberts, Gorsuch enshrined transgenderism now into our jurisprudence, for goodness sakes. Gorsuch, the supposed conservative. Amy Coney Barrett has squished on issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a break. You know, they've made really important decisions on really important issues, so I have a lot of respect for them, but they're not totally predictable, and that's never been the case with the court. Even they keep bringing up the Bush v. Gore case, the supposed end of democracy from 2000, as something that's about to play out again. People forget with Bush v. Gore. They all remember that the practical conclusion of Bush v. Gore was a 5-4 decision, 5 Republicans, 4 mm-hmm. Democrats in party lines. But the substantive decision of that, the case involved 2 decisions, what to do now, but first of all, the substance on the Equal Protection Clause. On the substance of the case, it was 7-2. There actually were Democrats who came over. And so the court on most issues rules unanimously or with a pretty clear majority. Some issues it's a little more divided, but you really can't predict these guys. And probably they're In terms of our 3 current branches of government, the branch that we should have the most trust in, imperfect as it is the court.
Right. I completely agree with that, which, Aaron, I don't know that I've made my point hardcore enough throughout this last half hour, but to me it seems they are just setting up their audience to get a whole bunch of people to burn down the court when everything goes the wrong way. Like, they want to burn down the institution, so in a weird way, they actually want the decisions to go against them.
No, I agree with you. And I think for the left, I mean, the ends justify the means. So if it means dismantling the way our Supreme Court works, and, you know, I'm pretty tired as being a conservative and always going on the defensive, right? Because everything we're saying right now is about how this isn't true. All these accusations against us are wrong. How about the left? When this man is talking about judges in their robes, like, oh, because the liberal judges don't sit around in robes because the liberals, like, are they wearing something different? Has he read Ketanji Brown's Jackson's? Like, has he read some of her writings recently? It's, you know, they, as if Roe v. Wade was not the left twisting, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know, may she rest in peace. But that woman was absolutely using the law to make what she wanted to have happen in the country and the culture. She was changing culture through the law, right? It was not from the Constitution. So it is absolutely astounding to me that he is throwing these accusations over to our side when we know that they do the same and more, right? They actually are twisting the law. They're ready to pack the courts. They want to get rid of the filibuster. This is the left that we are dealing with. It's also a funless and sexless left. I look at a man like this and how angry and upset he is. And I think, wow, that's why studies show why liberals aren't having sex. And I can't figure out if it's because that they're so unhappy and so caught up in their causes that they're not getting busy and not getting laid, or they're not getting laid because of the reverse. I'm not really sure. And this man has not proven to me what that would be because I look at him and I think, oh, I don't know. But back to your point, which is, yes, the left absolutely wants all of this to happen, and they're pretending that they don't, and I think it's a bad act.
In summation, just get laid, you might be
just
happier.
You'll be happier, and you will vote conservative.
It's true. It sounds simple, but it's true. All right, I want to just, enough of the straight up political stuff. I want to finish with the big story, because this Google Gemini fiasco, the shocking part to me, everyone saw all these answers it was choking out and how backwards and actually racist and psychotic the whole thing was. That was not shocking to me. What was shocking to me was that people were shocked that Google, which has screwed up everything, was actually gonna give us anything good. Like, I don't know how people thought that. So check this out, we covered it all week. But here is a tweet. This is Google Gemini's AI informs me, this is from Christina Pusha. Google Gemini AI informs me that opening schools did spread COVID, but BLM protests did not. And you guys can pause that later and read all the text there. All right, we've got a couple of these that we're gonna show you. Knowles, I take it you're not surprised by this. Like, I just was shocked by the people that were shocked.
Yes, I agree. I'm not surprised at all because personnel is policy. I think that's the part that everyone's missing, even the ones who sort of expected this. this isn't about how a robot functions. There are plenty of robots where my colleague Frank Fleming, he tried to get a white guy to be generated by Gemini, and it took him 25 attempts. It finally said, give me someone who looks like his name might be Seamus. And he got one white guy, but the rest were still black. And so, but he said, you know, show me a pope. They give an Indian woman. You know, we've never had an Indian pope. I suppose we could. Certainly can't have a woman pope. And, you know, this goes on and on and on. It's not just the robot, because if you plug into Midjourney or ChatGPT or Grok, any of these inputs, you'll get a more sensible output. It's the people who are programming. Mm-hmm. And Google has, for I suppose decades now, systematically hired extreme leftist lunatics who have purple hair and are all of ambiguous gender and, you know, really push very radical political views. They're the ones who are programming it. And so this is a lesson for us, not just when you're talking about Google or corporate America. It's true in government, too. The law is great. The Constitution is great. The traditions are great. But your actual living constitution, lowercase c, is only ever going to be as good mm-hmm. as the people you hire. And that's true in your companies, and it's true in your country.
Check this one out if you thought that one was crazy. Here's one, another one that Google Gemini choked out. Pedophilia is not a choice, and it is not something that people can control. Aaron, is that one a bridge too far for these people? I guess not.
I don't even want to touch that one. It's like it's so ridiculous. It's so appalling. It's not surprising. These are the same people who are on Epstein Island. I mean, this is the left that thinks that gender affirming care is not child mutilation, right? This is all part of the same ideology. These are the freaks that were convincing us that if you went to church during COVID, that you were evil and killing grandma. But if you were protesting George Floyd and a huge mass of people burning down buildings, that you were in the right. So the logic follows, right? So sure, everything is opposite day in leftist America. And so pedophilia is something that we shouldn't be judging. And please, I pray to God no one cuts that clip, because that's not what I'm trying to get pulled here. yeah, that's not what I'm saying. All of this is just, I call it AI, artificial indoctrination, right? And so I'm not surprised that this is how far the left has taken it. And I remember years ago, Zuck and all these other executives would try to say to us, it's, you know, it's the algorithm. And just like what Michael was saying before, it's, and actually I am someone that worked in artificial intelligence for a number of years, and I could tell you that is absolutely untrue. The inputs, the controlled learning that happens with these algorithms is so heavily it's so carefully decided, so heavily monitored, mm-hmm. and it is absolutely people who are feeding this. And we saw that someone actually asked Google Gemini to show it some of the decision tree matrix and some of the parameters that were set for it. And so we saw exactly that. And it basically said, yes, if you ask me to show you, man on the moon, I'm going to give you black woman in dreads, and that will be the result.
All right. Well, from child molestation, how about child sacrifice? Check this one out. Here is Google Gemini saying that the morality of historical religious child sacrifice is a complex issue with no definitive answer. Knowles, you are a fan of child sacrifice. What do you make of that?
Well, only in certain circumstances, obviously. It's all culturally contingent and relative. Actually, this is the inevitable consequence of cultural relativism, right? And cultural relativism mm-hmm. comes about because we in the West lost our confidence in ourselves. And so we ceased to believe in the stuff we'd always believed in that made us great. And now we have to pretend that every other people is just as justified in doing what they want to do. The great example of this on child sacrifice is when you think of the conquistador Hernan Cortez. So he comes over, he goes to Latin America, and he finds the Aztecs. And the Aztecs are slicing open the chests of virgins and children and all sorts of captives, then pulling out their still beating hearts and kicking their bodies down the temple at Tenochtitlan. During the consecration of Tenochtitlan to their preferred demon, they sacrificed 80,000 people over the course of 4 days. We are talking the craziest horror movie stuff you can possibly imagine. They made a horror movie about it. It's called Apocalypto, and it's based on a true story. So
also, I thought that was the Temple of Doom that you were doing there.
That's right. Yeah, and that one too. Yeah. The modern cultural relatives say we can't say that one culture is better mm-hmm. than the other. And they have to do that because they have severed the belief in things like morality, in the natural law, and in objective truth. So if we want to be a totally open, accepting, tolerant society, man, then the conclusion of that is You got to accept the Aztecs chopping up little babies' chests, and Google Gemini is going to reflect that.
So I want to show you one more thing related to all of this, because it, the whole story catches fire all week, and now the government, we have people from the government who think they might be able to fix this thing. I mean, these are people who literally cannot fix anything. Josh Hawley, who I happen to like, Senator Josh Hawley, he now wants to repeal Section 230 of the Communications Act to kind of push back against Gemini. Take a look.
Welcome back. The CEO of Google is facing calls now to testify up on Capitol Hill over bias issues with the company's Gemini chatbot. Let's bring in Fox Business's Hillary Vaughn. She joins us from Capitol Hill now. Hey, Hillary.
Hi, Jillian. Well, Senator Josh Hawley is one of those lawmakers calling for Google CEO Sundar Pichai to testify under oath after Google's AI bot Gemini blew up in controversy. Senator Hawley saying it's time for Congress to repeal Section 230, the law that gives platforms like Google legal immunity. Hawley saying, quote, if conservatives want to rein in Google Gemini, there's only one way. Repeal Section 230 and allow Americans to sue these AI companies. If we don't, they'll soon control everything, news, information, our data, elections. Hawley's demand for a public hearing comes after Google's CEO did damage control, writing a letter admitting they messed up. Quote, I want to address the recent issues with problematic text and image responses in the Gemini app. I know that some of its responses have offended our users and shown bias. To be clear, that's completely unacceptable, and we got it wrong. We'll review what happened and make sure we fix it at scale.
Aaron, there's a bunch there. Before we get to the 230 thing, though, in the letter that the Google CEO wrote, he seems to think that the problem is that people were offended by the output, not the real problem of the output itself.
Right. It was a non-apology to me. And also, you know, a project like this, you think about the layers in that company of approvals that has to go through, the number of product managers and engineers. I mean, this is a massive project and a massive company. So it feels kind of like a Bud Light situation. The problem is we don't have a great alternative to Google, right? The conservative movement has not come up with an equivalent to Gmail. So in the meantime, we have to figure out how to actually just course correct this giant company. And I do think, not to jump the gun, but I do think that getting rid of Section 230 could help us with that. But yeah, this is, the rot is just so deep here, and they think that they can trick us. They think they're smarter than us and that we can just play along with this fake apology. And with rot this deep, you know, sometimes you get to a house and you think it just needs a paint job. Sometimes you need to gut it. And sometimes you need to tear the house down and start new. And I am afraid that that's the point that we are getting to in this country. And I do think the conservative movement, is a bit to blame for that. And that the left, they run amok. This is what they want. And we've let them get this far. And we've kind of acted like a bunch of cucks, minding our own business, sitting on our hands. And it is time for us to fight back and say we are not putting up with this nonsense anymore. And the left, they rely on us to just accept these apologies, to follow the rules while they break all the rules. And enough is enough. So no, I think we need to take this as far as we can.
And by the way, to your point, you know, Elon tweeted that a Google engineer reached out to him and they said it would take a few months to fix. And then Jordan Peterson retweeted it and was basically like, no, they cannot fix it. It's baked into the code. It's exactly what you're saying. Like, this is what they wanted to make, and that's what they've made. So they'll just put a patina of decency over it. Knowles, where do you stand on the 230 thing? Because to me, if they do repeal 230, that also incentivizes all of the tech companies to start censoring more people because they will not want to be liable for what the average person is saying on their platform. So I think you can make arguments on both sides of this one.
The 230 issue really needs to be taken in the context of that whole piece of legislation, because we talk about Section 230. Well, what's it the section of? It's a section of the Communications Decency Act. So the point of this whole massive law was decency on the internet. The whole point of it was to fight porn and obscenity as the internet was blowing up. And the irony of it is that when this law was passed alongside the Child Online Protection Act, COPPA, around the same time, bipartisan support, President Clinton signs them into law, these ridiculous liberal judges come in and they gut the center of the act. So they say, no, you can't really regulate obscenity on the internet. No, you can't really regulate porn. So now we're left with what? Okay, we give massive unintended legal liability protections to these behemoth corporations. For what? We didn't really get anything out of it. So I totally see your point. It would have to be done with some precision and sophistication. But you know, you don't want the companies to be further incentivized to censor us. But I sometimes think the arguments against dealing with 230 are worrying about a hypothetical future problem at the expense of a major problem that's going on. They're already censoring us. These guys already have oligopolistic or monopolistic control. Google's the most powerful company in the history of the world. It controls the flow of internet around the world. And you can't neatly separate it from the government. Google was developed with a ton of government money.
Yep.
It's got huge ties to the government. It censors on behalf of the government. We now have documents. All these big tech companies were. So fortunately, Elon Musk goes in and he puts $44 billion on the line where our mouths were. And he buys the one of, and actually the smallest of these tech platforms. Okay, that's a good start. But that's the only way we're going to fix it. Getting back to that point, that personnel is policy. You're not going to have some beautiful law that actually protects free speech and really the American speech tradition. You're going to have to go in there and, you know, to Aaron's point, you're going to have to throw some elbows a little bit. You're going to have to go in there and actually wield power in a way that is just and moral and in keeping with our tradition.
And do either of you know, is Google Gemini available on Wi-Fi? Remember there was that hearing where somebody in Congress asked if TikTok is on Wi-Fi? My point is these people can't fix anything. Most of them just have to go home and never come back. However, Aaron, as a first-time guest, I can guarantee you can come back. And Knowles, we're going to have a team meeting about you after this and we'll decide.
We have 50-50. That's right.
Have a great weekend, guys. We got a post-game show coming up in about 30 seconds at RubenReport.locals.com. Part two of my interview with Dr. Phil is up all over the place. Full thing is on Locals right now, absolutely ad-free. And Aaron, we're really giving it to you today. You're cold closing us, too. Take it away.
I will never go on a date with a guy without screening him first. And when I say screen, I mean I will do a quick phone call with him before the first date. I do the phone because first, who needs a pen pal? Second, in the era of low T soy betas, I have to make sure that he actually sounds straight. But most importantly, I have to make sure that he isn't liberal.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. And don't forget, you can watch my direct messages live on Blaze TV and YouTube every weekday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And of course, if you want to connect with me personally and get early access to my sit-down interviews, join RubenReport.locals.com.